an offering plate or any such device to collect an offering. Not to mention, you want to talk about beggars. That makes the church look like a beggar because that's exactly the items of collection used by the beggars of the Old and New Testaments. They use the same thing. They want to talk about handicap. That's the church. That offering plate, sure enough, looks like a cap or a ball cap that they're holding out to get money into. It looks like one of them big like hats, Amish hats, or like cowboy hat, turned upside down. That's exactly what it looks like. And then if that's not bad enough, that they're watching you and they see what you put in there, so they know who gives and who don't, that's not bad enough. Oh, well, if you have a job and you need tax-exempt purposes or whatever, it don't even matter if you don't have a job. If you, we need you to fill out this little card, this little envelope called a tithing envelope. We need to know how much you're giving so we could accredit you that. And even if you're on a low income, a government income to where you're not on a taxable income, you don't need to worry about filing for taxes. Guess what they do? You know what they do, them dirty dogs? Oh, we still want you to put your tithe in an envelope. Otherwise, oh, we don't think you've ever given. Ain't your business if I'm giving. Bible says I'm to give in secret. Hello? Those verses alone show you that tithing, not only the ones we've already shown you, but these right here, if there's any doubt in your mind that tithing is unscriptural, here it is. Using an envelope and putting the money in that envelope, even if you don't put your name in it, the fact that you're putting it in that envelope or that you're putting it in that plate so somebody could watch you do it is unscriptural. Even the woman who gave her two mites took and went to a treasury. And if you notice, someone was still even there watching over who put in the basket. Hello? Tithing is unscriptural because it's not done in secret. It's done in open. So you're supposed to give your gift in secret. And usually, as it's referring to here as alms, that's in reference to helping somebody in need. Well, can I bear that out, preacher? Can I prove that from the Bible, okay? Let's look at Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 to 46.
When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory, and before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on His right hand, Come, ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungry, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungry, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you took me not in. Naked, and you clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and you visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungry, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? And shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you did it not to one of the least of these, you did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal.
We're not only supposed to give in secret. We're also supposed to give to the household of faith. Take care of the brethren. No, this ain't to get yourself a bigger church, Laodiceans. This is to get yourself a commonality between your brethren. You're not supposed to be driving around in a $40,000 Cadillac that you just bought off the assembly line. Forget off the lot, off the assembly line. While someone else has got to walk to church in a pair of shoes that barely even are able to hold on to their feet. That's crazy. And then you'll look down your nose. Well, they got to get a job. Well, did you ever think that maybe, just maybe, there's circumstances outside their control that they aren't able to have a job? And that maybe they'd love to work in the worst way, but there's reasons they can't? And even if they do have an income, maybe it's just where God has allowed them to be is at the lower end of the status, and what you're doing is you're sticking your nose up at them? Well, you know what? Hard-working people only appear bad to those who have nothing better to do than to stick their nose in the air. You remember, you stick your nose in the air, the only thing you're sniffing is the devil's behind, so why in the world are you doing it? You ought to be helping your brother. Jesus didn't condemn the woman in adultery, caught in the very act. Hey, it takes two to tango. Where was the dude, you know? That's what I want to know. They didn't bring him with her, just her. Threw at Jesus' feet, hey, what should you do? This is what the law said. Oh, yeah, that's what your law says you should tithe. But wait a minute, what does all the law say? All the law says you're supposed to love your brother as yourself. If it was you going through the hardship, you'd want some understanding too. It's not bad enough they already have their tithing tray, which is against Scripture, against Matthew chapter 6. Did you know I'm about to bring up another thing that shows that tithing ain't even biblical? Well, what's that, you say, preacher? Well, first off, tithing don't help the brethren. All it does is build up a big church. Tithing, by using plates and envelopes, shows who's giving and how much, so it ain't done in secret, so that's against Scripture. And then, what do you do with Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24? Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 and 24. And listen to what Matthew 5, 23-24 says.
Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift.
How many preachers will tell you to do that? They ain't going to tell you that one, are they? Oh, no. Give me your tithe. Put that money in the basket. The Lord's looking for a brand new stereo system, I guess. You know, like a Ernest Angley. Go and put your money in the offering plate. Because the Lord's looking for a brand new stereo system. It's pretty much what they do. That's what they do. They're more worried about how fancy their church is. They won't tell you, keep your money in your pocket. If you and your brother have a disagreement, stuff your money in your pocket, go over there, get it right with your brother, then come over and give your offering. How many times have you ever seen a church do that? Oh, during communion service, they ask you for a moment of silence or two for you to contemplate whether you're right with God. But you know what? They don't say, well, if you got a problem with your brother during communion even. We're not going to do this. Here's a chance. Go around the room. If you got something against one of your brethren in this church, let's get it right and get it right now, and then we can have communion. Because communion means to be able to fellowship. Well, same thing it's saying here. If you're going to offer a gift, and you got an offense, and you got a argument going on between you and a brother, and you got a strife going on, stuff your money in your pocket. Put your money back in your pocket and go make it right with your brother. Then come and offer your gift. Jesus ain't worried about your gift. He's worried about your heart. If your heart ain't right, you might as well keep your money, you dirty, rotten dog, because it ain't going to mean nothing. But you don't find no preachers preaching that. I never once, never, never, and I've been across many churches in this land, I've never once seen them get up and say, look, before we take up this offering, we're going to take 5 minutes. For anybody in this church, if you got an offense with your brother, we want you to take and go and get it right now. This is the time. We can't take up this offering if you got offenses between each other. You never find that. Oh, put your money in the plate. Yeah, you got to put your 10% in here. God is going to open up the windows of heaven. But you never hear him preach that about get it right between you and your brother. I find something wrong in that picture. So, we're starting to notice some problems with tithing that ain't meeting the scripture. We know that they're not done in secret. We know that they do it when they have something against their brother. Ooh-wee. Guess what? Let's crack on another problem they have. There ain't one single tither who doesn't do it because they want to, but rather they do it because they're told if they don't do it, they're robbing God. Which makes a person feel like if they don't give, they're going to go to hell. They'll lose their salvation. Their salvation's in the tithe bucket. Let's look at a passage we already read once. We're going to read again. Mark chapter 12, verses 42 to 44. Mark 12, verses 42 to 44.
And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples, and saith unto them, Verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which have cast unto the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living.
I know, a tither will say, but wait a minute, oh yes I did. I put it in because I wanted to. Excuse me, but you did not. If you really look down inside, really looked in, you didn't give because you wanted to. You gave because you were told if you did not, God would not bless you. You were told that if you were given, if you give your 10%, that God will give it back to you. He will open up the windows of heaven. You are doing it because of greed. I'm not going to lie for you. And I hope you're not lying to yourself. You were not tithing because you wanted to. You were tithing because you felt that you were waiting for the reward on the other end. You were waiting for the payback. Don't tell me you were giving because you wanted to. You were giving because you wanted the payback because you knew that, oh boy, I'm going to get blessed. God's going to open the windows of heaven for me. He's going to pour it out. He's going to have a money tree grow in my backyard. Jobs and better jobs. Checks in the mail. And all that garbage. That's what you were doing it for. You weren't doing it because you knew you were going to be asked to. You weren't doing it because you felt that you wanted to. You did it because you were told all these years that if you didn't, you would not be blessed. More or less, you did it out of compulsion, feeling that if you didn't do it, God was going to judge you. No, he wasn't. No, he wasn't. So, that's another thing that's wrong with tithing. They're not doing it because they want to. It's because they're told to. Now, another little section. Another scripture that we've already touched upon, but I'm going to bring it back here to your remembrance, is another reason that we're supposed to give, but the tithers, once again, violate this scripture. Tithing, the doctrine of tithing, violates this set of scripture, and I mean in its context. Violates it in several points. And I want you to listen to it. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 15, it's the whole chapter of 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9, verses 1 to 15. Now listen to it. And where do they violate it? First off, it's not tithing is not to help the brethren. It's to pay the bills of the church. Chapter and verse, please. That ain't what it's for. And secondly, it violates in this point. It's not only that it's not helping the brethren, it is also violating the scriptures that you don't do it cheerfully. I've never really seen a cheerful tither. They may say they are, but they're lying. I've never seen a tither who wasn't grudging to get that money, unless he was, of course, very, very, very rich. Or somebody who, in fact, every tither violates it under this one. They do it of necessity. Listen to the scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 1 to 15, and let's see what it says.
For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has provided very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that, as I said, ye may be ready. Lest haply, if they of Macedonia come with me, and find you unprepared, we, that we say not ye, should be ashamed in this same confident boasting. Therefore I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye had noticed before, that the same might be ready, as a matter of bounty, and not as of covetousness. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now, he that ministered seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruit of your righteousness, being rich in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the ministration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God, whilst by the experiment of this ministration they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift.
Thanks be to God for his unspeakable gift. The gift of giving, cheerful giving, not, and I repeat again, not tithing. There was not one word of tithing in this scripture that was read. It was all giving cheerfully because somebody else needed it. The poor saints in Jerusalem needed some help, and they were asked, Paul was asking the Corinthians, would you please help? Our brothers and sisters are suffering. They're doing without the necessities while you got not only enough, but some to spare. Can't you just give a little bit? And he said, look, I don't want you to give because if you're poor and you just barely are making ends meet, I'm not asking you to help. I'm not asking those who don't have nothing to help. I am asking those who have it to help. And what I'm telling you is what Paul said. Paul says, I'm telling you right here, look, I don't want you to give it and then later regret that you gave it because it was something you really needed. That's grudging. That would be like the tither say, well, if you owe your rent and you only got enough money for your tithe, you should give the tithe hoping God will give you the rent. The minute you give that tithe, the minute it's out of your hand, you're regretting it. There ain't nobody in their honest mind going to say they were happy about it. They are lying, and they need to repent for lying, because the fact is, they're lying. They know for a fact they were regretting giving that money. And then the very next word, not of necessity. When you say to a person, hey, this is a bill. God wants 10%. You're required to give 10%. Go ask any tither. Are you required to give 10%? They'll say yes. There ain't one tither ain't got the guts to stand up and say, no, you're not required to give 10%. Every one of them will say, yes, you're required to give 10% according to Malachi 3:10. But what they won't tell you is, according to Corinthians here, it says, not of necessity. A necessity is something you must do. It's necessary for you to breathe. Hello? It don't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. It's required for you to breathe, so it's also required when they say you're required to get that tithe, you must pay 10%. They make it a necessity. So it's against the Scripture. So, I mean, we found they don't do it in secret. They use their tithe buckets and envelopes. We find that they don't do it when they've got strife in the church. They give their tithes while they got strife in the church. That's against the Scripture. We find they're not doing it because they want to. They're doing it because they're being told they must do it. They're not doing it because to help the poor saints' brethren. They're doing it to pay the church bills. And they're not doing it because they know that they won't regret it later. And they for certain aren't doing it because they're not required to. They're required to tithe. So every place it's been against the Scripture thus far, tithing is not scriptural. Let us now also take a look in Deuteronomy chapter 14, Deuteronomy chapter 14, verses 22 to 29. Deuteronomy 14, verses 22 to 29. Let's see what the Word of God has to say.
Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year, and thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn, of thy wine, and of thy oil, and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always. And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far for thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee, then shalt thou turn it unto money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose, and thou shalt bestow that money, for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household. And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee. At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shalt lay it up within thy gates. And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come, and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest.
Houston, we got a problem. I'd say there's something big time wrong with the camera, because there's definitely something wrong with the picture. Hello, churches. Hello, tithers. Hello, preachers. I see something major wrong with this scripture when it comes in line with the doctrine of tithing as it's taught in our churches today. Okay, the doctrine of tithing in the churches today is we are to give a tenth, a penny for every dime, a dime for every dollar, $1 for every $10, $10 for every $100 that we earn off the gross. Is there a problem with what we just read? Not to mention, we're not supposed to eat our own tithe. We're not supposed to use our own tithe money toward food or anything else. We're supposed to give it strictly to the church. There's a problem, Houston. Let's see what I'm talking about. Deuteronomy, let's take a look at it step by step. Start at verse 22.
Thou shalt truly tithe all the increase of thy seed, that the field bringeth forth year by year.
Excuse me? Did you even catch that? Did it say off the gross? Did it say off... No. Hello, tithers. It does not say off the gross. It says off the increase. Right here we see a problem. We see a problem already because we find... Let's use as an example. The preacher who has his own business, if he has his own business, or not even a preacher, it could just be anybody in the church, he could have a business earning $5,000 extra a month profit. But he has to use his car to go to work. He could take the insurance that he needs to pay for his car payment, and his gas to get to work, and he can mark those all down as a, quote, business expense, and thus take that off of the so-called gross, and not one word would be said to that rich man in the church of him doing that. But the poor person who has the same kind of vehicle, has to go the same distance, may even be working for the bozo in the church who's making that $5,000 profit. What do we do with him? If he only earns $1,000 extra a month, he earns $1,000, it doesn't matter that he's got the same car note, the same insurance payments, or the same amount of gas that he's got to pay. He cannot make any of those payments until he's paid his $100 in tithe money first. Does something look unfair here to you? Hello, Christians. Hello, tithers. According to the Bible, what we just read, right smack out of the gate, Deuteronomy 14:22, it did not say off the gross. It said off your increase. So, if the person who ran a farm or a sheep herding thing and they had 100 sheep, and 50 of them were either slaughtered or killed or used to eat or whatever through the year, and they only had 50 left at the end of the year, that was their increase. If they had started out with 150, if they had started out with only 50, they increased over the year to 150, but by the time they ate the 50 they were going to eat, they only increased 50. That was the increase. It was over and above what they had at the beginning of the year. All expenses were considered in God's Word. While another man, who may only have 20 sheep, he eats 15 in the year, and only 4 are birthed to him during that year. Now he's only got 9 sheep. He hasn't had an increase. God wouldn't expect him to give up one of his sheep. He hasn't had an increase. Hello. It says of your increase. That's what you were to tithe off of. The tithe was figured from your increase as the Lord has blessed you. Not as the Lord, what He's already given you. Not something that's in the past. He said what He's given you in excess above increase. That's what that means. Hello, churches. What you do is you don't care. You got it set up for the tithers that it's the rich people who own businesses get away with scot-free with murder, while the poor man who's barely making his rent, who's wondering where the next payment for his food is going to come from, you're the ones, they're after them. And you know why, you dirty bums? You want to sit there and kick them out in the street and then tell them how they're lost as a dog because they wouldn't pay their tithe. Hello, the Bible, according to the Bible, it ain't the poor who's supposed to be paying the tithe anyway. Amen, because they haven't had no increase. Amen. So you guys need to get that straight, all right? Verse 23.
And thou shalt eat before the Lord thy God in the place which he shall choose to place his name there, the tithe of thy corn and of thy wine and of thy oil and the firstlings of thy herds and of thy flocks, that thou mayest learn to fear the Lord thy God always.
We got a problem. We definitely got a problem. It says the preacher gets the tithe. Nope. Says you eat it. You're tithe and you eat it. Your increase, you eat it. Your blessing, you eat it. The only thing is, as we're going to see fairly soon, is don't you dare forget the man, the poor, the widow, and the Levite who have nothing. That's the only thing. But you eat the increase. Hello? You eat the tithe. You see that? You eat it. Verse 24.
And if the way be too long for thee, so that thou art not able to carry it, or if the place be too far from thee, which the Lord thy God shall choose to set his name there, when the Lord thy God hath blessed thee.
And then we're just going to have Ruthie go on to the next verse, 25.
Then shalt thou turn it unto money, and bind up the money in thine hand, and shalt go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose.
Now notice, he says, if you live too far away from the place where we're going to have the real big shindig, where you're supposed to bring your tithe for this big party, so to speak, sell what you got that would normally be to your tithe, bind it up in your hand, take that money with you, take the money with you that you've earned from that sale, and then when you get to the place that God has chosen, what does he say? Verse 26.
And thou shalt bestow thy money for whatsoever thy soul lusteth after, for oxen, or for sheep, or for wine, or for strong drink, or for whatsoever thy soul desireth, and thou shalt eat there before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice, thou and thine household.
You take your money, you spend it on anything you want to spend it on for yourself. Hello? Notice what God said. He said, whether it be sheep or oxen or booze, strong drink, whiskey, you name it. Now, I'm not promoting drinking, but that's what it's talking about here. Strong drink, wine, whatever. We're going to have a big party, and who eats it? You! You! Let's take a look at verse 27.
And the Levite that is within thy gates, thou shalt not forsake him, for he hath no part nor inheritance with thee.
Now, look. When you do this, you better not forget the Levite. Why? It comes back to what I've been saying all this time. He, since he had no inheritance, this was God's way of taking care of him, but obviously he would not have been able to eat everybody's tithe in the whole country, so this was a big fellowship dinner, if you will, for everybody to rejoice in God's increase. Notice the word, increase, boys. It's the increase, not what you've already had or what you've lost. It's the increase over and above what you've spent and used. That's what we're talking about here. Okay, verse 28.
At the end of 3 years, thou shalt bring forth all the tithe of thine increase the same year, and shall lay it up within thy gates.
Okay, every 3 years, you bring your tithe together. You bring it all together, and you put it at your city gate. Everybody in that city would bring all the stuff together and have a city party, if you will, for each of their own cities. And here's what it was for. Verse 29.
And the Levite, because he hath no part nor inheritance with thee, and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow, which are within thy gates, shall come, and shall eat and be satisfied, that the Lord thy God may bless thee in all the work of thine hand which thou doest.
This was to now take care of those who really needed it. The fatherless, the widow, and the Levite. Those who could not take care of themselves. It does not say to pay the church electric bill. It does not say to pay the water bill. It does not say to pay the church's gas bill. It does not say to even pay the church's building bill. Nope. It says, plain and simple, it is for the poor, the fatherless, the widow, and the Levite. It was so that we could have a big celebration. And the people who brought the tithe were the ones who ate the tithe. But where do you hear that in the church? And especially amongst the tithers? You won't hear it because they're not going to preach Deuteronomy 14. Because if they preach Deuteronomy 14, they know their hide is nailed to the wall because it tears down every bit of the tithing doctrine, because they can't use the gross doctrine of tithing because it says off your increase. That means what you do is you go over the whole year. According to God's way of tithing, you would take, add up all your bills from all year long. That includes your groceries, your laundry bill, your food bill, your utility bills, your housing bill, your car bill, every bill you have. You add up your income for the year. And the money that comes in from whatever, even if it's from selling that little loaf of banana bread, Ruthie. But, you know, if it comes from selling whatever, every dime is accounted for. Then you subtract your bills from your income. And whatever is over and above your bills is your increase. That's where you get your tenth. If there is no money after the bills, you have no increase. Hello, churches. A person can't tithe off an increase they don't have. And then the Bible says, it also says that it's the people themselves who eat their tithe. Read it and weep, tithers.
Well then, preacher, you're going to ask me, well then, how can a church survive without money? Well, let me give you a little history before we start. To answer that question, I need to give you history. The first church did not receive tithes. It's very plain and evident that they did not. In fact, the Bible very clearly lays out that the first church did not take up an offering.
There's a scripture over in Acts chapter 5 that talks about, everybody knows Ananias and Sapphira. They sold a piece of ground, brought the money to the church.
Well, preacher, they're taking up an offering.
Oh, no, they're not. These people willingly brought some money. But they lied about it. They lied about how much they were bringing. See, God wasn't worried about the gift. He was worried about the lion, once again. It was not the gift that he was worried about. He was worried about the lion of Ananias and Sapphira in the very beginning verses there. He was worried about that. He was worried about the lie. He wasn't concerned that they sold this property and didn't give all the money. He was concerned the fact that they lied about it and said, well, we sold it for a certain amount, and yet they had gotten a lot more. They was holding back. They was trying to be greedy. It wasn't the fact that they were holding back. It was the fact that they were lying. If you wanted to hold back, you should have just said, look, I don't plan to give all this money back to the church. I have in my heart that I want to give a certain amount, and that's it, instead of lying. It was the lying that God got after. Now, the Bible says, Exodus chapter 20, thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. That's what the Bible said. And that's what they were doing. They were bearing false witness to their brethren, saying that they had it. So, what happened in the first church? Well, if they didn't have tithes, what did they do? Well, let's take a look at Acts chapter 2, verses 41 to 47. Acts 2, 41 to 47. Now, let's take a look at our very first church, the way the church was.
Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls.
It starts out right here. It's saying about the first membership that was first taken, the very first altar call. Peter got up, preached Jesus. Hey, they didn't take up an offering yet. In fact, what had happened, the Holy Ghost came down. Acts chapter 2, they all began to speak in other languages, not some gibberish. But they were preaching Jesus in other languages, and that's what these people were able to understand. They were able to understand these other languages, and these guys, these apostles, were preaching Jesus, preaching the good news, the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for their sins, and they were hearing the good news. And these folks are saying, wait a minute, these guys are all Galileans. These guys must be stoned out their mind. They must be drunk as a skunk. And Peter got up and said, oh, no, we're not. Wait a minute, take a look at your clocks. And then he goes on, he starts preaching Jesus to them. And he tells them all this time what had been going on. And then at the end of his message, more or less he says, hey, repent and be baptized, more or less, get saved, and get baptized in the Holy Ghost, which is going to occur right at salvation. Get saved and get baptized so that you could have the washing away of your sins. Then, all of a sudden, what happened? They all come running forward. 3,000 membership, right? They only had a church of about 12. Now, all of a sudden, pew, they got a whole big, huge church. The forget house church, man. They wouldn't fit in a little house, man. You better have a farmhouse, something like an Amish house now, buddy. They're going to have themselves a big church, okay? But they all come forward. It says, they that gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, 3,000 people were added to the church. So hello, Pentecostals. It didn't start on the day of Pentecost. There was already a church there that Jesus had already started. They just got more membership. Hello. You can't have a gray baby until you have a gray family. You can't add to the gray family until you have a gray baby in the family. You gotta have a mama and the papa there, so there's already two. You gotta add to it, alright? Add means to additionalize. Oh, well, we had 5-0, you know. There was 0 first, now we got 5. No, there were 12 first. 1 minus 1, Judas Iscariot, makes 11. Now you add an extra who is voted in, and then that made 12. Now you got 12 apostles, and all of a sudden, ping, had the day of Pentecost. All of a sudden, people get saved. Now you got 3,012. Any addition person can figure that out. And it says, they were added to the church, 3,000 souls.
And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers.
It continued in the apostles' doctrine. What was the apostles' doctrine? The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for sin. That's all. It wasn't, here comes a tithe bucket, No, the apostles' doctrine. Go check out. Paul said, in 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4, he said, the gospel is the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ for sin, according to the scriptures. That's all there is to it. So that was the gospel he was preaching. He wasn't preaching tithing buckets. So the apostle doctrine and fellowship, breaking of bread, that would indicate they had communion, a communion service to show Jesus' death on the cross of Calvary. So they had a communion service that commemorated that. And then it says, and prayers. Hey, a church that prays together stays together. Amen, amen, amen.
And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles.
Fear, respect, honor, glory came upon every soul. Many signs and wonders. Well, you ain't going to have signs and wonders now because you got to remember, that was for the Jewish believers because that was the only way they ever was going to believe. Without a sign, they weren't going to believe. But that's not necessary today. That ain't necessary today, Mr. Pentecostal. So, and anyway, if you think you got the gifts of the Holy Ghost, let's go on out to the graveyard. Let's see how many you can raise from the dead. Amen.
And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need.
All of them had everything together, had all things common. Now you understand why Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of land. They had excess and what they were supposed to do. God put on their heart to sell this piece of land and then take the proceeds and bring it to the church to those who didn't have as much as they did so that everybody could have everything the same. That means, hey, the preacher was driving a beat-up truck, the parishioners were driving beat-up cars. Amen. That's exactly what they were doing. The preacher wasn't any better than the people in pew. Amen. But you find preachers today that look better than the people in the pew. Hello, that proves tithing is wrong there too.
And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved.
God added to the church. And here's where the church was. The church met in the homes of individual members. Now here's what happened. See, the first church did not have common meeting houses or buildings or what we today call churches. That's why all the preachers have to get up. Well, the building ain't the church. We are the church. The reason you have to go and explain that, stupid, is because you're tithing. If you quit having a common meeting house, everybody would know that the church means the body of believers. But no, you got a common meeting house, and everybody, when you go to Truth Freedom Fellowship, or whatever church you got, or if you got People's Baptist Church, the reason they got church on the end of that is because you named that building as a church, when really what you're doing is naming the group of believers who meet together there, when in actuality you don't need a building. God never commanded us to have a common house of worship. Nowhere in the New Testament did I see Paul, Peter, James, John, or Jesus say, I want you to have a common house of worship. Nowhere. They met in houses, and they had all things common. What happened? We all decided, well, we'd look better if we had a common meeting house. So, I'll tell you what it was. The people got tired of hosting the meeting, and they had something hid, some sin hid in their house that they didn't want the rest of the membership to know, so they started letting people not come to their house. And doing so, when the church couldn't come to their house, you know what they did? I'll tell you what they did. First off, it showed that they distrust their brethren. And secondly, they all decided, well, let's have a common meeting house. Well, when you had a common meeting house, you forgot. In order to have a common meeting house, all of a sudden there were going to be expenses. Well, back in the days when they had horse and buggy and they had heating stoves, the cost was low. And those men in that church didn't mind going over there and chopping the wood for the wood stove or doing the repairs. So all it cost was the overhead for the materials. But then, today, we got people building these big, huge buildings for what? Because they want to look better than the Joneses. Oh, People's Baptist has got to look better than Bible Baptist. Let me tell you something. That building is going to burn when this world does. God never intended us to have a common meeting house, and God never intended us to have tithing so we could look down our nose at somebody else because they're not giving. Tithing is not scriptural, and nowhere have I found one verse that the tithers use that shows tithing is scriptural for the New Testament church. So, dear sister or brother, if you've been believing this lie, first of all, I ask you and tell you, it's A-okay. Go ahead. Dub these tapes and pass them on. Pass them on to somebody that you know has been led down that lie for these many years. And at the same time, I ask you right now to bow your head as we ask God to forgive us for twisting and adding to His Word when very clearly God told us in Revelation never to add to His Word or to take away. And that's what we've done. We've taken away the common meeting house and the common meal only to put in its place a tithe bucket of which we worship in our churches. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, Lord, right now I want to ask You, Lord, that You would forgive us. As Isaiah did when he saw You in all Your glory, he said, I live in a nation of a people of unclean lips. Lord, I'm in the midst of a Laodicean church who is sucked up to the devil's lie of tithing. Run after the dollar more than You, Lord Jesus. You told us in Your Word, Lord, that the love of money is the root of all evil, and that's exactly the way it's turned in the Laodicean church. And Lord, these many years, we've moved on to a common meeting house when all we really need is a common Jesus. One faith, one Lord, and one baptism, Lord. That's all we needed. But we went into the tithe bucket just so we could show we're better than somebody else. Lord, forgive us, Lord. Lord, help us to show this message to other people so that they could learn the truth of Your Word, that tithing is not for the New Testament Christian, but in fact was for the Old Testament Levitical priest. You had given them an inheritance, which was just You. The offerings of the tithe were for them to be able to support their families. Lord, I ask You now to bless this study, Lord, and help those that are still tithing and believing it, Lord, to help them to understand that all they're doing is believing a lie, that, and they're believing in an Old Testament law for the Jewish Levitical priest, that it was for them, and it's not for the average Joe of today. Lord, help them to realize Your truth. Help them to stick with the Bible and nothing but the Bible. We ask Jesus that You forgive us now. Help us to move on. In Jesus' name, amen.